John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 have been our focus a couple of weeks. But the hour cometh, and now is, when is the hour? When is now? Now is, this moment. Expression house, this moment. And for those of you watching and listening online, this moment. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He called them true worshipers because they do it in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh and in lies and deception. Not one face in the church, another face outside of church. In spirit and in truth, true worshipers. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father is looking for such people. They are wanted by the Father. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I recognize the young minister from Bodija Church. Please, can you stand for recognition? God bless you. YMTS, God bless you. Olamide, right? Okay, good. I have 41 more minutes to go. Go with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amplified Classic, please. AMPC. Amplified Classic Version. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So the Lord Jesus started from the spirit that you worship him. If you're going to be a true worshiper, you must do so in spirit and in truth. And so Paul the Apostle presented another perspective, building on the foundation laid by the Lord, that when we talk about true worship, it is not just, yes, it is coming from your spirit, but it must have an outward expression in your body, in the way you live your life, in the way you use your body. Some people say, it's my body, I can do whatever I want to do with it. No, it's not your body. You have been bought with a price. And your worship is not complete until your body is involved. Your worship must affect your character. We must see it in the way you relate to other people. There is nothing like, well, I'm a Christian in church on Sunday. Yeah, there's a face for church, and this is business. This is not church. Let's put church aside. Let's face business. No, your worship must affect your business, the way you conduct your business, the way you conduct your life. Worship is the totality of what you give to God. The totality. Your lifestyle, your money, your time, your talent, your treasure, your everything, that is worship. When Abraham was going to Mount Moriah, he went with Isaac. That was all he had as the son of promise, not Ishmael. Your son, the one that you love, that was all he had. So worship necessarily will involve sacrifice. And Paul said, what are we going to sacrifice here? You are not to bring a goat to church or a cow to church. You are to bring your body. And not just to church. Everywhere you go, your body. Present it to God as a living sacrifice. Even though it's supposed to be dead, but let it be a living sacrifice. Because we don't want you to go to heaven right now. You are living, but you are living like a sacrifice. He said, this is your reasonable, intelligent, rational act of of service to God and your spiritual worship. In other words, what I do with my body is important. Don't let anybody deceive you that what you do with your body is not important. It doesn't count. Paul is saying it counts. Even though it's your body you are using to do whatever you are doing, it's affecting your spiritual worship. It is being reckoned in heaven as worship. But what kind of worship are you bringing to God? It's a fallacy to say that, you know, it doesn't matter because my spirit is saved. I mean, whatever I did was just a sin of the flesh. That's a scam. Because most of the things you do in the flesh, including prayer. But does it have a spiritual significance? Yes, it does. You're shocked to hear that this morning. How do you pray? Even when you speak in tongues, the Bible says your spirit prayeth, right? But you open your mouth, which is your body, right? You go on your knees, which is your body, right? Or you walk the floor, which is, I don't see your spirit walking, I see your body walking. So the moment you kneel down and lift your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, it's a physical activity. You are doing it with your body, but it is carrying great spiritual significance. Am I making sense? Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. You know, it's your body, it's not your spirit. Everything. No wonder Paul the apostle prayed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 that the very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart, holy. And he didn't leave out your body. He said your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've said all that to say what you do in your body counts. Can I have an amen? Including your body count. Oh, deep gone. So what does true worship entail? We've been looking at it for a while. I said true worship must come from the heart. A heart that honors God. And that cannot be overemphasized. I've given you several scriptures on that. I'm not going back there this morning. Sorry. If you're listening to this for the first time, go and get the entire messages, the series. And it's available for free on Spotify, on Amazon, and all these other streaming platforms. They're there for free. As a matter of fact, I think Zacchaeus edits at the end of every service, so you can always have them, right? So I want to move on quickly and wrap up today. We looked at two case studies last week. I want us to go to the second case study, which is the situation between King Saul and then David. So we looked at King Saul, 1 Samuel 15. I don't have all the time to read all of this. 1 Samuel 15, 13 to 20. You can just put that on the screen. And then you need to follow me, media, so that whatever I say, you can put it up. 1 Samuel 15, okay? And we're going to start from verse 13 all the way to verse 20. Yeah, but I'm not reading everything. So the summary of it, for those of you that were here last week, and those who were not here, I just want you to flow with me. Flow. God had raised up Saul to say, go and decree judgment on the Amalekites. Because the Amalekites were wicked to the children of Israel when they were traveling through the wilderness. The Amalekites came from behind and they were killing the Israelites. Now, you need to understand, these were a people of about 4 million in population. 4 million people. You'll agree with me that everybody will not be able to maintain the same pace. So the strong men were in front. They were the ones leading. They were young. They were strong. They had energy. But the weak men and the women and the children, and I figure some of them were young, some of them pregnant, were behind. They couldn't maintain pace. They couldn't keep pace with those who were leading, all right? And the Amalekites came, and they were killing them from behind, and God was looking at them. You know, people do certain things sometimes and they figure that God is probably on holiday and he doesn't see what they do. And listen, because judgment against evil is not speedily executed, the hearts of men is set in them to continue to do evil. They forget that someday God is actually going to visit what they do. So God raised Saul and said, today I remember the iniquity of the Amalekites. I want you to go and wipe them out. Simple instruction. So Saul went there with his army. First of all, he spared the king. The king was called Agag. From the genealogy of Agag, we had a crop of people called Agagites. Those Agagites, one of them was, you would remember the story of Mordecai and Naaman. Naaman, who hated the Jews, he was an enemy of the Jews. He moved the king to sign a decree to wipe out all the Jews in one day, all over the world. Such an enemy. That guy was a representative of Satan. Saul spared Agag. They killed the people. They killed some of the animals. They spared some of the animals, the ones that were big and fat and would be very good for pepper soup and for barbecue. God raised Samuel the prophet and said, go and meet him. He has disobeyed me. Samuel came and said, Saul, what have you done? He said, oh. So, verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I am afraid of Christians who have mastered sin. They have mastered it so well. They speak like us. They speak like Christians. They speak righteous languages. Blessed be thou of the Lord. If anybody says, blessed be thou of the Lord, no matter who you are, you first of all calm down and say, thank you very much. That sounds good. Am I right about that? Am I right about that? Then he followed it with a lie. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Did he kill the Amalekites? Yes. Did he kill all of them? No. With God, 99.9% obedience is equal to disobedience. I asked you to go meet that person, forgive them, and give them a gift. You went there, you forgave them, you withheld the gift. 99.9% obedience to God is equal to disobedience. So when he said that, I have carried out the commandment of the Lord, Samuel said to him, so what's the meaning of this bleating of the sheep in my ears? Because I can hear some sheep at the backyard and they were bleating. They must be numerous in number. Not one sheep. Not 10. Not 100. What's the meaning of what I'm hearing? Because God wanted everything that is Amalekitish in nature to be wiped out. Everything. I don't want the remembrance of Amalekites, of the Amalekites. I don't want anything related to Amalek. Everything is contaminated before me. I don't want to see it. It's repulsive to me. I don't want to see the traces of the wicked around me. Kept some of the animals. May you not be delighted in keeping what God wants extinct, what God wants extinguished totally in the name of Jesus. May you not hold on to a relationship that God wants dead. It's dangerous. It killed the wife of Lot. God had delivered her from Sodom and Gomorrah. But where the heart, where the treasure of a man is, there his heart will be. She looked back, having been warned, go forward. She still wanted to hold on. You know how God has saved us, and sometimes we still want to go back to pornography. We still want to go back to masturbation. We still want to go back to backbiting. We still want to go back to malice. We still want to go back to etc. We still want to do a little bit of alcohol. We still want to hang around our sinner friends. After all, it's really not, you know, I'm just trying to win their souls. No, it's easier for them who are down to pull you down than for you who is up to pull them up. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Worship. Worship has to be totality. So, what's the bleating of this sheep that I'm hearing in my ears? And the lamb. What do you want to do? I'm here, sir. I know it's for my good. Are you with me, church? brought them? Like you were not there. When they were bringing them, why didn't you say, Chief of Army Staff, are you all right? I am the Grand Commander. I am the sea in sea. The Coas answers to the sea in sea. Go to Abuja, go to the Aso Rock. They called the president, for short, they said the sea in sea. Sea in sea, Commander in Chief. That's the Grand Commander of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Nobody else is given the honor GCFR in front of their names. There are other national honors. For example, the Vice President is GCON. There are other people, they even give GCON. Someone like, I think Dangote also has a GCON to his name. Because he's got a lot of money, he's got a lot of industries and connection. But you dare not give any other person GCFR, not even the Vice President. You can be CON, you can be MON, you can be ON, you can be CFR. But to be GCFR, you got to be the one in charge. It's only in Nigeria that you have the GCFR saying, I am not aware. They're killing people in your place. They're doing this, they're doing I am not. How can you not be? Resign, please. In sin countries, people resign when they fail. I'm sorry, I failed the people. Some in some extreme climes, they go and hang themselves. In Nigeria, it has never happened. Somebody resigned. No, they died there. They rather stay and die. They got that from Saul. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekite for the people. Who was in charge of the people? Please, this. Don't have anybody in mind as I'm talking to you this morning. Have yourself in mind like the Holy Ghost is talking to you. Have yourself in mind. What are the areas where you're lagging behind and you're looking for how to push the blame? You scored low in that course and you said it was the lecturer. How about the one you did very well? I made. Don't be like me when I was in secondary school. When I was in secondary school, they gave me F9 in math. They gave me F9, my first attempt at WAEC, F9 mathematics. They gave me. They didn't like my face. But I made A3 in English. I made it. But they gave me F9 math. You understand that? But that's not the end of my story. So I went back, re-enrolled, and I now made A1. In English, I stepped up my English to A1, and then my math, I now made A3. Back in the day, it was A1, A2, A3, C4, C5, C6, P7, P8, F9. Not A1, B2, B3, no. We didn't do B, we did A. Straight A's. Okay, I think it was in 99, they introduced B and D and all of that stuff. So, but don't be like me in secondary school. That's not the me now. But the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord your God. Because the Lord your God is very hungry and they needed to make sacrifice to him. So they brought oxen and sheep. Glory to God. Sacrifice. They brought them to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. He didn't even say the Lord my God. He said the Lord your God because you're a servant of God. Thinking that will appease Samuel, who was obviously furious. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Listen to Samuel's response. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay. And I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. If you were a king, you carried an anointing because you were anointed with oil. There were three categories of people in the old covenant that were anointed with oil. The king, the priests, and the prophets. They were anointed with oil. And so you are an anointed man of the Lord. That was why David respected the anointing on Saul. So much so that even when they had the opportunity to kill Saul, he said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Because God said expressly, you don't touch my anointed and you do my prophet no harm. So the Lord now wants to talk to you, the one who has anointed you. And look at Saul's response. And he said to him, say on. You want to talk? Yeah. I'm listening. When you're done, you go. I attitude. Attitude. In the place of prayer, even God is looking at your attitude. You know, some people talk to God like it was their coursemate in the uni. Lord, you know, so you're really going to have to sort that issue out. You're going to have to do it. If you are really close to God, in fact, the closer you get to God, the more you will honor him. You will reverence his presence. You will be at least a little bit afraid. The reason it seems as it were that there is no fear of God in our nation today, from the pulpit to the pew, is because people really don't know God. You can't know God and be doing certain things, I'm telling you. And I was telling a couple of young men a few days ago, members of this church, I said, I am getting to a point in my life, and it is my prayer for the Expression House that we all get to that point where we literally fear God. And I mean fear God. At least fear him. You won't do certain things. Nobody needs to tell you. You won't even say certain things. Today, people lie in the name of the Lord. People hold the Bible in the court of law. I swear that everything I'm going to say in this court of law is true. And they are false witnesses. I told you last week about when we're growing up in the hood, in Mokola, we would be cussing out at each other as kids. The moment we got to the front of a church, we kept quiet. We moved. We stopped cussing at each other. We moved past the church. We resume. We would cuss and cuss and cuss, get to the front of another church. We keep quiet. We go past the church. We resume cussing because we were told that God was in his house. We were told that the church is the house of God. So we believed as kids that God literally lived in the church. And you dare not curse in front of the house of the king. But today, not only have they removed the fear from our hearts, they have removed the reverence and the worship. There is no true worship without the element of reverence and honor. You know, I've been told that you guys are tapping now. You're tapping to make money. Now, tapping is not wrong. If it's not illegitimate, I don't know what you're tapping, right? But they say that you download from, what's it called now? Telegram. And so tapping is not wrong if you are not stealing somebody's money, all right? If they say it is crypto or you're working for some country online and you have to tap to make a lot of money. But you know what will be wrong? It will be wrong for you to be in this service or in any service and they say God is there and you have the guts to be tapping in the course of the service. You have no honor for God. You don't access any embassy with your battery-operated devices. Whether it's a phone, a tab, an iPad, no. The U.S. embassy will tell you, they don't even have a place for you to keep it. So if you bring it, you're on your own. And at nobody's risk but your own risk. The German embassy, they have zero tolerance. You can't bring in a phone to the embassy. You cannot have a meeting with the governor of Oyo State, Seyi Makinde, and enter his office. I'm not saying it's home. I'm saying office with your mobile phone. You must be authorized to do that. But people come to the house of God because they can't see God physically. The attitude. I was told somebody was sleeping in a service. He was sleeping in a service and he was tapping. So you see where the heart is. He was sleeping, right? But his fingers kept tapping. So the message was boring to him, but he got to make money. You can't serve God and mammon. Jesus said very clearly in Matthew chapter 6. Does God care? Yes, he does. The church is the house of God, the ground and the pillar of the truth. If you don't hear the truth here, you will never hear it elsewhere. You get what I mean? I don't mean just in the Expression House. I mean in the house of God. Say on. And see what Samuel said. See what God said to Samuel, which Samuel said to him. Because Samuel was only there to deliver what God said. Samuel wasn't coming up with his own words, but he came with the message of the Lord. Say on. And Samuel said, when you were small, when you were little, Americans say little, when you were little in your own sight, learn from this, everybody. I don't care how far I go today, but learn from this. When you were little in your own eyes, in your own sight, when you were small in your own sight, when you were small in your own sight, when you felt inadequate, when you felt unqualified, when you felt you didn't deserve it, when you felt that nobody would give you a chance, he said, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? I made you the head of the tribes, 12 tribes of Israel. I made you, when you were small in your eyes. I pray for everybody as I pray for myself. May you never be big in your own eyes. When you are big in your eyes, you misbehave. Nobody can talk to you. You are taller than your mom now. So you can breathe threats down her neck. Mom, don't try that with me. No. I'm not a small boy anymore. I'm a university undergraduate. No, you can't tell me that. You can't tell me that. Oh, really? Who watched your head? You know that rhyme. Your little head in the cradle. Who rocked your head that looked like coconut? My mother. When you were small, when you were little, when you were helpless, when you couldn't bathe yourself, when you couldn't feed yourself, when you couldn't wear your own diapers, when you couldn't even walk by yourself. But now you are bigger than her and you can threaten her. And you can box her into a corner. And you can tell her never to talk to you again. And you can slam the door on her. I pray for you again. May you never be big in your own eyes. No matter how big you become in life, may you remain little in your own sight. God can magnify you. Listen to me. Before people. God did that for Moses. He magnified him in the sight of all Israel and all the Egyptians and made him a god unto Pharaoh. God can do that. God magnified Joseph. Joseph said, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. But may you never be big in your own eyes. Who is Pastor Fred to talk to me anyway? Your worship. And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a journey. You didn't send yourself. The Lord sent you on a journey. It is the one that sends you on an errand you reverence, not the one to whom you would deliver the message. God sent you. He could have sent someone else, but he sent you. He chose you and sent you to be in the choir, sent you to be in drama, sent you to be in the ushering, sent you to be in protocol, sent you to serve in the capacity in his house. Or you became too big. God sent you. Sent you on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. God called them the sinners. The Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Move on, media. Thank you. You are doing a good job. Until they be consumed. Until they be consumed. Next verse. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil? You saw the spoil, and you did fly. Ah, Enore. Chimalu. Big things like he saw them. Big cars, big houses. Many ministers have lost their calling on the platform of prosperity. Big, mega. What I was talking with my father in the Lord a few days ago, And he was telling me of certain mega church pastors and bishops in America whose prayer time, entire prayer life, prayer time is 5 minutes per day. And you know the prayer time? Oh, Father, we just love you. Oh, we honor you. Oh, we just praise you. How great and marvelous you are. Because the man understands, he knows that in his personal account, he has about $3 million US. And for every service, there's about $250,000 coming in per service. They know they have the business model, so they know how much money is coming in per service. They can foretell, they can forecast, and they can plan. They know the property they've acquired and the ones they're planning to acquire. And God is not averse to us having things. God does not mind us having things, get me right? But God minds it when things have you. Things have them. 5 minutes prayer. How do you survive on that, church? And so, Lord, we just want to bless your name this morning because you are in the house. We just want to love you. Oh. Oh, thank you, Lord. A part-time Christian? Americans, African-Americans, those who speak Ebonics, ebony, black skin, Ebonics, phonics of the ebony people, Ebonics, would say a part-time Christian. They don't say Christian, they say Christian. Cannot defeat a full-time devil. You pray 5 minutes a day. Even 1 hour a day is not enough. It's the starting point to warm up your engine. If Jesus prayed the way he did, look at the attacks against the ministry. Look at the opposition that Jesus faced. He resisted the enemy. He resisted sin, resisted everything to the point of shedding his blood. In Hebrews 5:7, we have a glimpse into how he prayed. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had lifted up prayers and supplication to God with strong crying and tears, strong crying, and tears. That was how he prayed. And the Bible says that the Spirit was given to him without measure. His anointing had no measure, unlimited anointing. Yours has a measure. Mine has a measure. How are we supposed to pray? Oh no, Father, we just want to thank you. And that's okay for today. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's it. Thank you, Father. You won't survive that way. As a true worshiper, you will have a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer becomes the oxygen you breathe. Because you are leaning on God every time. Because if I don't pray, I will do badly. Jesus said that in Matthew 26:41-42. He told the three apostles he took with him to Gethsemane. He said, can't you watch with me 1 hour, this 1 hour? He said, pray so that you do not enter into temptation. One translation says, pray so that you do not do badly. Watch and pray so that you will not do badly. What does it mean to enter into temptation? You enter temptation, temptation enters you. And then start crying, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't want to do it with that girl, oh boy. She was just too fine. I don't know how you made someone like that, Lord. You know, yellow skin is my weakness. Oh no, ebony is my weakness. Chocolate, dark skin, anything dark, Lord. Can you please take them away from me? I was in the service yesterday when a priest prayed like that. He said, and the things that would make us fall, the things that are confronting us, Lord, take them away from our life. It was a very religious prayer. People said amen. I didn't say amen. Because God will not take them away. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God knows that you will be tempted and you are in this world. And as long as you are here, you are going to face opposition. You are going to face devil. You are going to face the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But God has given us the engine through which we will grow through them and outgrow them. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't want any opposition. You don't want any temptation. You don't want any trouble. You don't want any trial. Go to heaven. In heaven, there is no temptation because Satan is not there. We grow through these things. Let me give you a freebie, young man. You're looking at a lady lustfully, and you keep having her in your thoughts every time. She's a member of the church, so you see every Sunday, at least, minimum every Sunday. You like the shape. And you know this is just not right because it's not about you love the person. You don't even know the person. Just hear from afar. You are beginning to lust. Lust means strong desire. You can kill that on the platform of prayer. Take that to God. Lord, you know where I am. I am not going to, I can lie to Pastor Fred, but not to you. So leave me and Pastor Fred. But Lord, this is me and you now. Lord, this is it. I am lusting. And if I don't take care of this lust, it will give birth to sin. So Father, I want this lust to die. And I'm dedicating 2 hours today, or 3 hours, or at least this 1 hour. Lord, just help me. I just need. Look, God will not look at such and look away. But we like to deceive ourselves. All is well. When all is really not well. Satan will not tempt you with what you don't like. Give you what you like. Start thinking about it. Dreaming about it. Imagining it. Fantasizing about it. Then you start making connections. You want to start getting a number. You get a number. Then communication will start. And then frequent communication will lead to, let's hang out, babe. One day, let's just hang out. I mean, in a public place, right? And so you go to an eatery. And then you consolidate your lust. And then you plan. We can also hang out in a private place. Like, you know, can you just kind of come over to my place? Yeah. And if she, too, is not standing well. She's a new member of the church. She's a newcomer to Christ. She's still trying to strike a balance between her old life and the new. You know, you know what she's going to do. She's going to come looking for you. And somehow, sometimes, she may even believe that you are a spiritual brother. You are very spiritual. And you're going to help her in her walk with God. But you help her to take her back to where she's coming from. Don't deceive yourself. Take it to God in prayer. Take it, God, help me. If you don't help me, I'm going to fail. I just want you to know, Lord. So I need your help. Jesus said, watch and pray so you don't fall into, you don't enter temptation because you will enter it if you don't pray. Listen to me. When a fish is going to start rotting, it rots from the head. Ori le dati mamba je. Your prayer life is your head. When something goes wrong with your prayer closet, your entire spiritual life will begin to dwindle gradually. Backsliding is not an overnight thing. It's an overtime development. Over time. You're no longer hungry to win souls. You're no longer hungry to be in the place of prayer. You're no longer hungry for consecration. You're no longer hungry to even come to Bible study. Bible study is for baby believers. No, someone like me, I do my own personal Bible study. You are no longer, the things that matter to God begin to lose their taste where you are. That's trouble. Please don't get to that point where we will have to announce you as a brother that impregnated somebody. Don't get to that point where we have to announce you as a sister that got pregnant. Don't get to that point. When trouble is coming from afar, you can smell it, you can see it. Be honest, be humble. Don't be like Saul. Saul says, say on. I should say on. Then Samuel said on. What did he say? Go back to my scripture. Why did you fly on the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Why? Move on. Look at Saul's defense. In the court of law, there's the, I think they call them the opposite of the defendant. What do you call that? The prosecutor or prosecution. And then you have the defendant. So Saul decided to be the defendant here. And Saul said to Samuel, yeah, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have. How dare you come to my palace and tell me I have not obeyed. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord sent me and brought Agag, the king of Amalek. Did God say bring Agag? Come on, talk to me, church. And I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Imagine, he still had the nerve to justify his error. I I'm afraid of Christians like this who have mastered sin. They give you Pauline scriptures. No. Because the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. To them that are in Christ Jesus, for the oh, come on now. Oh, they walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit. For the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We are not of the law. We are of grace. Hallelujah. Oh, we are covered. Let me tell you, God doesn't like such Christians. I didn't say love. He loves everybody. But there are people God doesn't like. And you need to begin to develop the understanding between love and like. I love everybody. I don't like everybody. If you are acting as an enemy and I know you can kill me, I will not like you. I love you. I pray for you. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Not the liking of the Lord. The love of the Lord. So it's my choice to choose who I like. One of my mentors said, God told him one day, I don't like you much. He said, what? He said, your mouth. Talk too much. You say things I didn't say, and I don't like that. And it is the person God loves, he chastises, and he loves us. Look at Saul, who took my scripture away from the screen. I don't like that. But you know, I love the person, you know. Now I love and I like what they have done. They've returned it. Saul was defending himself. He was throwing up a defense. All right, verse 21. But the people took of the spoil. He was still not taking responsibility. He was still passing it on to the people. But the people took of the spoil. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. We bring things that are worthy of the Lord unto Gilgal. So the people did it. Next verse. And Samuel said, look at what Samuel said. Is the Lord hungry? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Who told you the Lord is hungry? Who told you you can bribe God? You can steal from your company and come and pay the tithe in church, or come and use it as a donation in church? Some Christians in Nigeria, they have stolen from the bank industry or banking industry, and they have donated 500 million to the building of an edifice. And the church will say, wow, he's one of our greatest donors. God said, no, that's not my house. You don't build my house with loot. No, you don't build my house with what has destroyed the lives of other people. I don't need money from the devil to do my work. The spirit of Saul. Samuel said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You can't bribe God with your praise worship. You stayed the night in your boyfriend's house, you had sex, then you showed up in church in the morning, and you prayed for 1 hour before service started. Rabanto stekele don't steer. O robo steketete. And then praise worship started. Hallelujah, Lord, we love you. If I dance very well, God will forgive me. That's why I don't like that song. Everybody. So don't feel special. I anchored an event for a particular organization here in Ibadan some couple of years ago, and the event ran into the night. And trust the men who came, beer drinking, beer guzzling men. They came, very few came with their wives. Most came with their girlfriends. And you know, girlfriends, they have an association. They usually have a place where they hang. You just know when you see a man and his girlfriend, you just know. When you see a man and his wife, you can tell. And as the musician was singing this song, that's why there are certain songs that must not be heard again in the Word Alive Ministries International. There are certain songs that you can sing and be comfortable living in sin. And you still sing. They are church songs, but you'll be comfortable singing them. But there are some that you can never be comfortable singing in sin. I will give you examples. This girl got up. Fine girl. Fine body. Fine chip. Chip. C-H-A-P. Chip. And then she took her iPhone and she was recording herself. Koro bimo se. Oro. God is thinking about it. He's just giving you time to repent. Koro bimo says, Oro. Oro. Okanduro die. Koro nupi wadani. He's just waiting for you to repent. The girlfriends got up and they were twerking to that song. Ah, arababa. Man, come on. Come and see them. Many, many years ago, there was a wedding conducted in this church. The adult church was here. Our lead pastor was a young man that time, maybe about my age, and he was preaching fire, like I preach fire. About age also. And he was preaching fire. One of the men who came was a top military officer. His girlfriend was in our choir. The then choir. Now the pastor preached like house on fire. The man wanted to give his life to Christ. He came forward, he stepped by, said, he was trying to juxtapose. This is the pastor preaching righteousness. This is member that I do the do with. After the service, you know, some people will not come out publicly. They come Nicodemusly. John 3:3, Nicodemusly. He came to see pastor after service. Says, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. And pastor, yes, sir. God bless you, sir. He says, sir, your preaching touched me. I wanted to come out. He said, but in your choir, sir, I saw a girl, my girlfriend. Say, sir, when I'm doing the do with her, she sings. And she sings, oh, well, me, look, yeah, yeah, maka, hallelujah. She sings, but she said, pelu me, nikoma, say. Those are the kind of songs you can be comfortable singing. Can you sing, Holy Are You, Lord? Come awaken your people. Come awaken the city. God of revival, pour it out. Pour it out. Jesus for my family. Jesus in my street. Jesus on the mountain, Babe. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. This, the work I'm doing is the work of the enemy. So I can't sing it now. Let's sing about the cross. Let's sing about the blood. There are many songs they sing in the ICC. I don't know. I follow the lyrics. Choir, follow suit. I beg you. Don't sing those useless, baseless Nigerian songs that have no root. Some of them are just emotion, pure emotion and spiritism. Don't sing them. Don't sing songs that appeal to the flesh. You guys are doing well, though. On a more serious note, but you can do better. I mean, they are singing, and I'm following the lyrics, and I'm saying, my God, my God, my God. It's about the cross. It's about the blood. It's about Jesus. It's about the name. It's about the power. It's about the victory. The victory over the enemy. We need those songs. The man told pastor, he said, she'll be singing, but say, she pelu me, ni ko she jube, Lord, and I do more. He said, she jube, Lord, and I do more. She jube, Lord. I bring those songs to the altar. No holiness, no sanctification, no righteousness. But they say grace covers them. What grace? Those who are deceiving you that way had better be manufacturing their own heaven where they will take you to. Because it won't be the heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ will be the king. He's the king of righteousness. He's not the king of sin. He's not the king of lasciviousness. He's not the king of licentiousness. The grace of God, Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 2, has appeared, teaching us one thing, to shun ungodliness and all worldly lusts. Grace teaches us to fear God. Teaches us to repent and not to explain. Let's see the end of Saul. Time is up. Gotta stop. Samuel said to him, etc., etc., to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken rather than the fat of rams, because God is not hungry. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Ain't it stubborn, Shengbo? God hates stubborn. He doesn't like it. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. Stop eating Isiewu. Is contributing to your stubbornness. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. There are people I can't talk to. No, they do what they want to do. This is how God is looking at it. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. What? Because you rejected his word. Next verse. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. After he said that, he has removed you from being king. That was when he knew to repent. He had built his defense. Imagine from the first statement, the Lord gave me a word for you tonight. And listen, sir, please. I know I have committed an error and I've sinned. Please let the Lord forgive me. The Lord would have forgiven him. He built his defense. He built his defense until there was no more defense. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This is still not true. This is because you are the king. The Bible says in the whole of the land of Israel, Saul was taller than taller than the tallest man from his shoulder up. He didn't fear nobody. Saul was a tough guy. Go and read your Bible. Even when they wanted to anoint him king, he went to hide inside stuff. Very stubborn guy. I feared the people. I feared their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. He was not a sincere guy. And Samuel said unto Saul, he said, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Next verse. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it tore. Oh, Yasket prophet. Oh, ni Yasket prophet. May you not tear the skirt of a prophet. He wanted us to see the dross of the prophet. The boxer shorts. Saw it. It was by mistake. But one thing I've seen in the Bible also is something called the spirit of error. It was this same spirit that affected one of the descendants of the Agagite, Agag, the king of Amalek. The name called Naaman. When Naaman was pleading his case, trying to beg Esther, and the king had stormed out of anger, he mistakenly fell on the bed. As he fell on the bed, the king entered. With what you have done, you still want to rape my wife? Go and cut off his head now. Go and hang him on the gallows he erected. No more defense. The spirit of error. Maybe he should have proceeded on the floor. Why Okilu want to repent? If you want to beg somebody, must you come and beg beside the bed? Maybe if he was on the floor, maybe the king went and said, he's really begging. On the bed, struggling with Esther. And Esther said, leave me alone. May the spirit of error not find its way around your life. It is real. Saul here didn't mean to tear Samuel's skirt. He meant to beg him. But look at what Samuel said. The prophet that had no chill. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn. I feel like speaking good English. Saying, the Lord has teared. The Lord, he said, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee. This day, I tore his skirt, not the kingdom. You tore the kingdom. And has given it to a neighbor of thine. that is better than thou. And that referred to David. And who was David? David was a man who had a penitent and repentant heart. David committed a grievous sin. We read that last week. We're not going to go back there today. I just want to stop here. I'll just make a reference to it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. That's where we have the account of David. And you know what David did? David took someone else's wife. Her name was Bathsheba. She was having a bath. Bathsheba. Be careful the kind of names you give your children. There are many names in the Bible. Don't just see any name and say, wow, I like this name. Oh, Absalom. He's like, you know, he has Alom. He's Absa that has a Lom. He will have a lot of money. Lom. Nice Lomo. Lump sum. Like, when is it lump sum? Absalom. Don't try that. Somebody opened a shop and said the name of the shop is Eli Lamasa Bactani Ventures. How do you want to record sales in Eli Lamasa Bactani Ventures? My God, why have you forsaken me, Ventures? That's the meaning. Tekel, tekel, ufar, pera. Ladies and gentlemen, David committed an error, slept with the man's wife, sent for the man from the war front, asked the man to go home so that he could top up the degree. The man said, no, I'm not going home. I've missed my king. The man was sleeping in the palace. He gave him wine, gave him, go home. Your wife has missed you. Oh, I've missed my king. The man didn't go home. The wife was pregnant. David arranged his death and killed him with the sword of the enemy. David didn't remember that God was looking. Oh, that's old covenant. God does not look anymore. When did it change? Malachi 3:6. Hebrews 13 verse 8. In fact, if you look at Hebrews 12:1, he said we have been watched. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, we also, not only the Old Testament saints, we also are compassed. In fact, in our own case, it's not only God that is watching. We are compassed. We are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses are watching. Imagine you being watched by 1 million people. You change that figure. You kiss that person when we are being watched. That's why I say people are not conscious of God. That's why they do what they do. As if God doesn't exist. Nathan came and gave him a parable. A certain rich man had many animals. There was a poor man in that city that had only one. And that one was like a daughter to him. He was nursing that one. He was feeding that one along with his children. One day, a visitor came for the rich man. Instead of killing out of his animals, he sent for the only one that the poor man had. And he killed it to entertain his guest. David said, alone. As surely as God lives, that man will die. David had no chill. Anything injustice, he didn't like it. But Baba did not know that fat was smelling his body. That man will die. He shall die. This shall die. He shall die. Next verse. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. I pray for everyone from whom people have stolen things. You will get a restoration. In the name of Jesus. He said because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David, did you have pity? A man had only one wife. You had many wives. You inherited the wives of Saul. You got the wife of Nabal, Abigail, a wise woman. Nabal, a stupid man. When Nabal died, you took his wife. Saul himself gave you his daughter. Many women, because David was very handsome. Yeah, Oto, not enough. The wife of Uriah, only wife, a soldier man, collecting salary from you. was not a rich, he couldn't fight you. Even if he found out that you impregnated his wife, Uriah could not fight David. He would just send one sniper, go and X that guy. That's it. Gone. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You wanted the man? One man asked a question, a musician. He said, shame me, the man. You wanted the man? God said, the Lord God of Israel, I anointed. See the way God talks. Similar to the way he talked to Saul. God will remind you of your days of little beginning, Gragra brother. When you had only one shirt and one pair of chinos. Eh? And one pair of shoes. And you were serving like no man's business in his house. Now he has made you a big man. You have many shirts, many trousers, many shoes, many suits. You have now become a big boy. When God wants to correct you, he will take you back to where he took you from. When you talk like that, people will say, Pastor, why? It's not called Iregu. It's called Moron Eliti. Iregu in English will be upbraiding. Upbraiding. When you help someone and then you upbraid. Come on, you remember how I helped you the last time. No. See the way God talks. God will remind you. When you were, he said, I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Do you think you delivered yourself by your dexterity in war? I delivered you. I gave you the award. I gave you the stage. I gave you the microphone. I gave you the platform. I gave you the gift. I gave you the talent. I gave you the opportunity. I opened doors for you. Shut it to other people. Opened it for you. For you. They gave you best in mathematics in school. You think I was not the one that did that? You think it was your brain? And I gave you your masters. God said this. God said this. God said it. Don't question God. I gave you your master's house. I gave you. Not by your conquest. I gave you a gift. Your master's house. And your master's wives. You had them to yourself. I put them in your bosom. Anyone you wanted, cheer. They were even happy to have you. You were younger than the master. Praise God. More handsome. More favored. Who didn't want to associate with David? Who didn't want to? He was handsome from his youthful days. Even Goliath admitted he was handsome. See this ruddy boy. Who wants to kill you like this? Why do they want to waste your life? You're a small boy. David said, get out. I'll finish you. And I gave you the house of Israel. I gave you the house. Look at where God started from. I gave you the house of your master. One house. I gave you his wives. Progression. I gave you the house of Israel. Increase. And then of Judah. Addition. And if that had been too little, David, if it was too small, I would moreover have given unto you such and such things that you desired. I would have given you for free. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil? Evil. Listen to me. Fornication is not a weakness. Fornication is evil. Evil. In the sight of the Lord. Stop calling it a weakness. It's my weakness, Lord. There is no man that doesn't have the weakness for a woman. No man. I don't know the man unless you are gay. Even gay, they have weakness for men. So everybody has weakness. Lesbians have weakness for women. It's a weakness. Stop celebrating your weakness. Everybody has it. Some people have, they even have weakness for animals. If they see a goat walking like this, Kai, see the bum of the goat. It's not their fault. They are demon possessed. It's called bestiality. You don't know some people sleep with animals? You don't know some people sleep with cows? Dog, chicken, duck, pepeye, all sorts. Listen to me. Let's take it beyond that point. Can we be, church, can we be honest to God? I'm asking a question. Can we be honest to God? Those who are honest will get help. I'm not despising anybody this morning. I'm, it's just one of my moments of being, let's be honest with ourselves and stop glorifying the devil and the flesh. It's because of the flesh. Everybody has flesh. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? It is evil for a married man to go and sleep with a single lady or to go and sleep with another person's wife. It is evil for a single man to sleep with someone else's wife, a married woman, and say she's my sugar mommy. It is evil. It is called evil. It's evil for a single lady to be destroying someone else's home by sleeping with a married man. It is evil. It is evil. It is evil. The society may accept it, yeah, but in the sight of the Lord, it is evil. And God judges evil, sir. God judges evil. God judges evil. He said, why have you done this evil in his sight? And thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Kai. And has taken his wife to be your wife. And you have slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. One of the enemies of the Israelites. They were supposed to be cousins to the Israelites. Ammon and Moab were the product of incest. Their mothers fell with their father. Their own father, Lot. So when they were born, they knew daddy as also grandpa. When your father becomes your grandfather, when your grandfather becomes your father, it's a confusion. Hello, mom. Who is my dad? My dad. Your dad, my dad. Confusion. They went to school. Other children were not like that. Dad, mom, grandpa, grandma. Your own case, grandpa is also pa. You killed him. You couldn't even kill him with your own sword. You killed him with the sword of the enemy. Are we not doing this in the church today? When people hate you, they go and look for other people that hate you. And they sit down to kill you because they know that that person hates you, so they want to reinforce the hate. Why do we do that? You don't have to like me. You don't have to like your fellow church member. You owe everybody love. You don't owe us liking. But instead of cutting us down, why don't you keep quiet and pray for us if you know certain things about us that are not pleasant? But many they even killed their pastor with the sword of another pastor. That's our church. We don't understand what is wrong with our pastor. Something has come over him. I think he's in sin. He doesn't hear from God anymore. When last did God tell you that this man doesn't hear from him? Some people know more than the Holy Spirit. The way I'm looking at that lady, she has disconnected from the Spirit. Somebody said concerning my wife, she doesn't have the anointing of a pastor's wife because there's an anointing for that office. There is an anointing for that office. I'm telling you, somebody said it in this church. Because he and God had a meeting. And God told him, my son, my special son, my special advisor, the one that talks to me, your pastor's wife does not have the anointing of a pastor's wife. Because my wife doesn't come up here to preach. Tell me one message you heard from Mama Lynette Hagin or Aretha Hagin. Aretha, the wife of Papa Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin. Tell me one message you heard from the wife of Papa Ora Roberts. So every pastor's wife automatically must be a pastor. Is that not the era of Nigeria? Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Reverend, and even the Mrs. that is not reverend, who just wants to live her life. She might be called as an apostle in the marketplace. That's her calling. She's an insurance broker, or she's a banker, or she's a medical doctor. That's her calling. And to support her husband. But because she doesn't come on stage, when this man is weary, who prays for him? Let's stop on this note. David, when he heard all of this, please let me stop there. Go to the next verse. Next verse. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Yeah? God said, people will sleep with your wives. God said that to David. And the sword will not depart from your house, and I will do it openly. We've skipped that verse. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Instant repentance. No defense. Instant repentance. And hear what Nathan said. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also immediately has put away your sin, and you shall not die. He was supposed to have died, but God said, you won't die. David lived up to 70 and handed the kingdom over to Solomon, who continued the kingdom. Stand on your feet, everybody.